And we're off and rolling.
That's
yay!
I learned to take my phone apart.
Okay.
In the toilet?
I took it out, washed it out in fresh water, and then I just took it all apart.
What was this?
Really?
Put it back together with fine.
What are you talking about?
Really?
I've heard put it in rice.
Right.
Linda dropped her phone in the toilet.
Oh, God.
Not recently.
Yes.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing years ago. I told her what I did is I just washed mine out with fresh water, dismantled it, and just apart. Let it dry.
I had the same experience way back before we had smartphones. I dropped my PDA in the toilet.
How do you people drop something in the toilet?
Well, actually, it's kind of easy when you...
To go to the bathroom.
I mean, when you... Robin, look at how many devices I have with me. It's the real question is, how come you guys can't go anywhere without a device?
Do you ever look at people at dinner, out... Supposed to be a nice evening. Each one of them could
Get a snack.
And they're talking to each other across the table.
Yeah, they're sitting in the same phone.
What are you going to have?
Well, that works in a loud nightclub. I was in a nightclub one time and people were signing each other. I don't know if they were hearing impaired or not, but at least they could communicate.
Yeah. The only way you do it is loud
noise.
Yeah.
Hey. Somebody mentioned rice. From experience, rice has the potential of turning into goop if your device is really wet because of the flour, whatever's in the rice, or the rice itself, if it's become powdered, has the potential of turning into a gummy goop. And so what I do believe in the rice trick. Some people say that it's not true. But to avoid that possibility, I wrap a device in a paper towel and stick it in with rice. The truth is, if you look at some of these devices that you receive, there's a little silicone packet that gets thrown in there specifically to suck up moisture. And what you learn from finding those packets all over in different packaging is it doesn't need to be near the device. It just has to be within the atmosphere of the device. So if you've got it like in a sealed Tupperware container, the rice doesn't even have to be touching the device. You could have it in a separate container.
And rice will do the same thing?
Yeah, that's the whole point of the rice is it sucks the humidity out. Hi, Bob. How are you doing? Good to see you. I titled one of our episodes, We Miss Bob Last Season. So if you are going to use the rice trick to dry something out, just be conscientious of there is a dust that comes from rice. And if that gets wet, then you might end up with some goop that you're dealing with.
Probably the cornstarch they put on the rice so it won't stick together.
Probably is, yeah. I'm not that familiar with rice, just the experience.
Moving on.
You'll see white come out.
You totally know what you're doing. I make rice and forget to rinse it off. I catch my wife rinsing white rice all the time.
Yep.
All right, well, we are ready to begin. I've got way too much technology in front of me. Silence your cell phones, Linda. Hint, hint. Silence your cell phones. Okay.
I have to bring her off.
I don't have mine.
So a lot of you were not with us last week, but I had a very frustrating experience in the middle of our meeting. Well, actually 20 minutes into the meeting. I was talking about a Windows app, which I still recommend for Windows 8, Windows 8.1, or Windows 10. It's a universal app called Network Speed Test. And I'll mention it again because I love this application. It's a very straightforward, basic app that just has a start button on it. And you hit the start button, and it does a speed test from where you are. What I really like about it is that it has a running history. So when you're in the same network, it recognizes you're in that network, and it displays to you all the different speed tests you've done from that network. So that means that if I bring this from Tequila's over to my home, I'm going to see my home network history, whereas right now I'm looking at Tequila's network history. It's a very basic app. You're not this from an administrator's point of view. There's some features I wish I had, like I wish I could grab that history and stick it somewhere else, so I could have like months of history, put it in a spreadsheet or something like that. Though those kind of features don't exist, but what can I complain about? It's a free app. You look for it in the Windows Store called Network Speed Test. And I think that if you're running Windows 8, 8.1, Windows 10, this is something that you'd really appreciate. If you're trying to sort out a problem with your internet at home, this is a great way to keep track of it. Because every time you think you're having an issue, you can run this test and see what kind of speeds you're getting for downloading and uploading. And then just for grins, when everything's running fine, you can run this, and then you have a comparison over time of what's normal and what's not. So last week I was trying to run this app just so I had a visual to look at as I talked, and I watched my whole computer shut down on me and stop working and stop recording the podcast and stop broadcasting online. And so my recommendation was defeated by the fact that I couldn't use my computer while I was trying to use the app. It was not the app. It was this emergency Windows 10 upgrade that decided to go on while the computer was running in the middle of Computer Club. I'm still not quite sure why it didn't tell me that it wanted to do this, and I should have been aware of it, because the evening before, one of my computers woke up in the middle of the night and started updating itself and restarted. And I was only awake, it woke me up at like 3:30 in the morning, because that's when it's scheduled to do updates. And I have the screen shining in the other side of the room, and the next morning I checked it out, and here's this unscheduled Windows update. It was some emergency, I think it was a flash update that they pushed out. For Internet, well, for Edge, right? Well, Edge and Explorer, because they both use the same flash. And this laptop wasn't on, because it sits in a bag. And so for some reason, when I turned it on at Computer Club, it decided to go ahead and do that stuff, instead of giving me any kind of warning. So as much as I'm loving Windows 10, I did not love that experience last week. And it would have been really nice if something had just popped in front of me saying, hey, we're ready to do an update. Would you like to do it now, or would you like to postpone it? And nothing like that happened last week at Club. So I did finally piece together two pieces of podcast, two pieces of recording from last week's meeting. And unfortunately, I don't have a recording of me losing my shit, because that's how I felt. I felt like I was trying to hold it together. Fortunately, it was a small meeting, so some of you were aware of how I was feeling. But I don't have any recording of that, so you can't go to the website and listen to how frustrated I was. But if you do go to the website and listen to last week's meeting, you'll be amazed at how you can't tell where it all fell apart. It was about 19 minutes or 20 minutes into it, and I just pieced the rest of the recording to the end of it and felt like I must be really boring, because it just sounds like I digressed off onto another topic. You cannot tell there's a big, like, 15-minute section missing from our meeting.
Foul language.
Yeah, of foul language and frustration.
Just a series of acts.
Yeah.
Like in the old comic book.
And in case anybody's interested, I haven't really been announcing this, but I have solved the problem with the podcast I produce for our club meeting. And so now, if you've got an iDevice, you can subscribe to the podcast, and you can download it right into your device. You don't need to use iTunes anymore.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm very...
I don't.
Yeah, most people don't.
And
that was the real frustration with it, is I've had people ask me, say, hey, you know, I know you're doing a podcast, but I can't get it on my device. Well, that's solved now. The only way that you could do it before was with iTunes on Windows or on Macintosh, and now you can use any one of your devices to get a hold of the San Carlos Computer Club. Just search for it. Subscribe to it. Like it. Say nice things about it. Because I like the exposure. What else can I say? The 26th hit. What that means is the iPad Pro should be out there now, this 13-inch iPad. If you guys haven't noticed it yet, it's being aimed at enterprise, but some of you folks might find it a laptop replacement. It is kind of expensive in comparison to laptops, but if you've been looking for an iPad and can't give up your laptop, this might be the device that does it for you. It has a large keyboard, it's a 13-inch display, and it's got the Retina or 4K, is it a 4K display it's got now? It's got some ridiculous resolution display where, because of the ratios they've chose, if you think of your 10-inch, it's not really 10 inches, it's 9.7 inches, but it's easier to say 10 inches. If you think of your 10-inch iPad, the resolution of this 13-inch iPad allows you to take the same presentation and stack it side by side. So you can, and they support multi-apps. They have screen splitting.
Nice.
So you could take your portrait app that you've been using in your iPad 10-inch, and you can run two of them now side by side with a keyboard, touch screen, and a stylus pen, a pencil, they call it a pencil, that you can use for drawing or activating the screen. So this is a pretty impressive device, and I think that one of the most impressive features about it is it's copying the Microsoft Surface, and that's unheard of. Apple's been known to copy and refine and better technology that's been out there for a long time. But they've never taken a whole product category and copied it. And so Microsoft's a little puffed up right now because the Microsoft Surface is a winning category for them. And this has just been like icing on the cake. So it's such a winning platform that Apple has had to copy it to feel like they need to stay in the game for the future. So if any of you are looking at the iPad Pro, thinking that that might be the product, before you buy it, go look at the Microsoft Surface Pro, because it's the same style of device, but it's a real laptop operating system. It really is compatible with all the Windows stuff you were doing before, so there's no chance that you're going to have a compatibility issue. It doesn't leave you with this desire for a laptop, though it might leave you with a desire for a different style tablet. That's about it. The Surface Pro has really gotten it dialed in now. It's a fast computer, really powerful. Oh, and I get nothing off of recommending these things, okay? So if I've fallen in love with it, I'm evangelizing it because I love it, not because I'm getting any kickbacks for it.
In the days before iPads and iPhones and all of those things, the ratio of Macintosh computers to PCs was like
3 to 5%.
Yeah.
Right.
Really tiny by comparison. If you threw all those other devices in there, what does it look like now?
And for Macintosh computers,
yeah.
3 to 5%.
Still?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they really. In fact, they'll probably end up feeding off their own market share with this iPad Pro, because there are people out there that are using these MacBook Airs, and what that's that. Laptop that got famous for showing up in the presentation in a manila envelope. Steve Jobs just pulled it out of an envelope, and a 13-inch display with a keyboard. I mean, it's a proper laptop running Macintosh applications with an extended battery life, and it really defined that ultrabook category. The PCs just started following that. Very thin, not a lot of ports, lots of battery life, easy to see screen, easy to use keyboard. There are people in that category that have been wanting an iPad, a good iPad with a good keyboard. And I think that's what this is. And so they're going to actually take away from their market share as they put out this device.
This is a physical keyboard attached to it, not a...
Well, it's very similar to the Surface keyboard, where it's a keyboard cover. And so it's got keys that actually travel. They go up and down. But but they're soft, and the keyboard itself is soft, and it wraps around the screen to protect the screen.
I thought the Surface Pro said it wasn't going to be one of those this time.
Well, you've got three options. No, you've got two options with the Surface Pro 4.
Oh.
And they're both have keys that travel.
Oh.
And they are covers. But the big difference is that the Surface Pro keyboard now has a thumbprint reader on it.
Uh-huh.
And the main reason for that is if you have the Surface Pro 3, it doesn't have that Hello facial recognition. But Hello supports keyboard, or supports thumb reading, thumbprint reading. And so they put out this other keyboard so that is compatible with the Surface 3. So you can add Hello to what you're already doing, and you don't have to buy the whole device, a whole brand new device. But yeah, they're still doing the keyboard cover. Yeah. What they're not doing, I think, is the soft type.
Right.
Where the keys don't travel.
Oh.
Where the keys are more like touching on fabric that doesn't actually move. It's much more like touching on a touch screen. And I think they've stopped doing that. You know, I can't remember if they do. But have you noticed what they're doing is if they feel like you need the experience of a sound, they just broadcast it through the speakers. Right? They add that sound. Like on the new Surface Pro, no, the Surface Book, that's what they're calling it, the Surface Book. That's that laptop with the strange hinge that leaves a gap where it hinges. And what do they call that? Do you remember what that hinge is called?
I don't know. Ask Pete about that. You mean the piano hinge?
No.
Piano hinge.
What is it called? I've forgotten what it. But it extends out, kind of like my finger extends out. And what it does is it rolls out onto the table, so that it makes the base of the computer longer, so that when you're touching the touch screen, it doesn't have a tendency to topple over. That's the idea.
Well, Yoga, Lenovo just came out with the new Yoga Pro.
Mm.
I mean, it's real expensive.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
it's...
Like the Pro and the new iPad
Pro and the Surface Pro.
Uh-huh. And it's got that special hinge on it. Because it comes apart.
Oh, I haven't looked at that yet.
Actually, it flips over like Dr. Maggie's.
Okay,
it's got
yeah.
a new type of hinge on it.
Well, what I was getting at is...
A lot more expensive.
The Microsoft Surface Book, its key feature is that you can press a button and the screen pops off and becomes a laptop, or becomes a tablet.
Yeah.
So that's its key feature. So it's... besides this interesting extending hinge, which the name of the hinge is on the tip of my tongue, it's driving me crazy. I can't say it.
Yeah, well,
it's like a book that will open flat.
No, it won't.
No?
I wish it would. In fact, that's one of the things that people were asking is how come we can't just... But what you can do is you can pop off the screen. The majority of the computer is in the screen. And so the screen becomes a tablet, very similar to like a Surface.
Show and tell.
Yeah. What's that? Well, this is a Microsoft Surface, and what we're talking about is the same experience as this, but it docks onto a base, and so you can fold it closed, you can fold it open. But the other key feature of it, besides being able to pop it off, is you can flip it around and pop it on backwards. And so you can create like a monitor base out of the keyboard base. And so then you can use the... And I saw this really as being something for business travelers so that they can easily have their screen in front of them without falling over either on their lap or on the tray table on a plane. Right? So they would have this... Because what the Surface Pro has, or all these Surface devices has, is this kickstand that pops out.
Or right. This thing you can use and fold it backwards and set it up too.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so this is, so what they say is this device is not lappable. That's the terminology they're using in the industry. This is not a lappable device. If you plug your keyboard on it, and try and set it on your lap and do work, it's going to fall off your lap because of this here, this kickstand. The new Pros use a kickstand that almost allow you to put this kickstand flat. It's a variable hinged kickstand. And so this one right here, I think, what do you have? Oh, you have one size, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you've got two extensions.
Yeah, two, yeah.
So it can sit like this, or it can sit like this. Picture frame, or...
Can you use the keyboard?
As a stand?
Yeah.
Can you use the keyboard away from it?
No.
But you can fold that back like that, put that kickstand that you had up, and get some other goody on your lap thing.
Oh, yeah, right. You could have it right here. It have a little bit more support using the keyboard. Can you disable the keyboard? Because I would think you could accidentally trigger things from the keyboard.
I'm not sure about that. No, I don't know.
If that was sitting face down,
you might be able to.
Something happen.
It had stuff in your pockets.
But there may be a way.
There you go.
To
thank you.
Scott.
Yeah.
The problem with that is if you have this on your lap, people will think you're praying.
Oh, well, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, airplane conversation is not always stimulating.
Absolutely.
Well, master the digression. The point being, when you pull off the keyboard, going back over to the keyboard, the tablet screen, when you press a button on the Microsoft device, and it makes a sound. A click sound that has nothing mechanical about it. It's an auditorial sound that's produced through the speakers because they found in the study groups. What are the groups they do? They're doing their groups, seeing what people were very uncomfortable with the fact there was no click sound when they detached the screen. And so Microsoft has provided a sound.
That's like the shutter sound on a digital camera.
Right, it's exactly what it is. It's shutter sound on a digital camera. It's a click sound for taking off the screen. And the screen uses this thing called a memory wire. So you don't even use a physical switch to disconnect it from the base. You use a soft button just like you would on a keyboard. And when you press the button, you wait a moment, and this memory wire expands or contracts and lets go of the screen so that it can come off. So the wire makes no sound. The wire is not physically controlled. These things bother me about this product. I think that not having a physical way to remove it, how long before you're dealing with a broken button or a memory wire that doesn't work correctly? Or a software update breaks the memory button. So you press the button, you hear the click, and nothing lets go of the screen. Things like that kind of bother me about this product. And it wouldn't bother me if it was a $1,500 product, or even better, I would take my chances with a $1,000 product. It's perfect. But they start at $1,500, and the product that I want is $3,200. Wow. I'm never going to pay $3,200 for any laptop. Doesn't matter how cool I think it is. And so this is way... They're going to have to do two or three iterations to get into the stuff, get the stuff that's at $3,200 down to the $1,500 mark for me to be interested in it, and it's going to have a physical button to pop off the screen because I'm not interested in taking my chances with some hardware failure when I become reliant on it. Some of the key features of that device is 12-hour battery life when you have the screen in the base. The base consists of a keyboard, battery, and if you buy into the very expensive end of it, a separate graphics processor. So whenever the screen is in the base, you have amazing amounts of graphic potential there. AutoCAD, 3D games, VR is becoming a really big deal now, and so you'll be able to you'll be able to put on VR goggles and run it through this device because of that discrete graphics card. You pull off the screen, it's got its own set of batteries in it. The screen lasts as a tablet for about 3 hours. Doesn't have as much graphics capability, but it has easily as much graphics capability as anything that you're running right now. If you have a computer up to this moment, outside of something specialized for gaming or engineering, it easily has the graphics that you would expect from any mid-end computer. So it's a very impressive device. I think we're looking for iteration 2 or 3, unless you got money to burn and you're interested in the hottest, greatest thing that's out there. I think you're waiting for the second iteration of this, just because they're working out the bugs. That hinge has bothered a lot of people because there's a gap. When it closes, you've got a distinct gap between the screen and the keyboard that stuff can float through, like crackers. Cracker crumbs and things like that. It also has a stylus that if you flip it over, it has an eraser. And that's become a big joke in the industry right now because Microsoft has had a stylus for a long time. They've had this digital pen. They've added an eraser to it. Mm-hmm. Apple has never had a stylus. They finally added a stylus for their new iPad. They call it the Apple Pencil. It doesn't have an eraser. So that's the big joke, is that Microsoft has a pen that erases and Apple has a pencil that doesn't.
You have to use whiteout.
That's right, on the screen. Well, the stylus has no place in either product. On both products, they use a magnet. So the stylus can be magnetized to the side of the product. The thing people are saying is that even though it's a strong magnet, they're saying that you can grab the magnet. Say you put the Surface Pro, or I'm sorry, I'm getting these names mixed up. The Surface Book, Microsoft Surface Book on a desk, and you attach the stylus by its magnet, you could pull it across the desk by the stylus. It does not easily pop off of the... And that's an advantage. That's the way you want it. You want it to be twisted off, or so you don't want to easily lose a stylus. In the same breath, they say, but I lost my stylus. So even though it's that strong of a magnet, it's obviously a bad design. Because
if the magnet wouldn't hurt the computer?
Not the way they've designed it.
Or your watch?
Well, it depends on what kind of watch you have.
Well, but if you have an Apple Watch, it doesn't hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't need an eraser. No. You just drag the pencil across around the computer, and everything's gone.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, from what I understand, you just turn on an eraser and use that same end.
So the new ones don't have an eraser. You just take that pencil and go around your computer, and everything's gone.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying, because you wiped it out with the magnets.
Duh.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the case. Well, I have monopolized the topics for the last 2.5 meetings, and I have come with less topics today, and most of what I've said has been impromptu today. I would like to ask you guys if you have any questions I can answer. Otherwise, I do have some topics from last week we could talk about. Is it? Yes?
I brought down a Roku one. I've had it down before.
Okay.
This is the first time I came down and left the handheld at home. So I went out on Viva San Carlos. Linda answered and said, well, I've got a Roku 2 handheld and you can borrow it.
Are you talking about the remote control?
Remote control. Yeah.
Okay.
And a 2 will not work with a 1. So that's what they said. So I bought a generic down with that.
Like a universal remote control?
Yeah. But I can't get it programmed, probably because I don't know how, or not following the instructions.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. The generic? Yeah, you need to find somebody with a remote that will work for that. At the very least, so that... Do you have an iDevice? Do you have an iPhone or not?
I have an Android, but they don't make... And I can download the app on my Android.
Right.
And it shows up on the screen, but that's all it does. There's none of the buttons or do anything or whatever.
I dealt with this problem in Alaska. I had the same experience. I brought the Roku with me and forgot the remote.
Okay.
And I could not. There was nothing I could do because you have to get the Roku on your network. The same network that your Android device is on.
It was on before. Same TV, and I just went home.
Right, but your Roku should be set to the network that you were at home.
Yes.
And you can't get it set right now to your network here. And you can do some crazy, like I did some crazy stuff trying to make this thing work. Like I renamed my network in Alaska to be the exact same network and same password as my network in Mexico. And that worked. The problem is in Alaska, I need to be on a different network for other reasons. And I kept setting it up so that it would work on my iDevice or my Android device, and I would be able to do that because it was the same network. Mm-hmm. But the moment I went to change the Roku to the other network, I would lose connectivity. And so I'd use my iPhone or my Android device to go to the Roku settings and go, okay, now I want it on this network. And I'd set it on that network and immediately lose connectivity. And the Roku wouldn't. So you can do all this stuff. And none of it worked. I finally had to get a hold of a Roku remote that would work with my device. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to set it to the correct network, and then I could use the Roku app on my Android device or my iDevice to control it as a remote control.
Well, I'll be going home in a couple of months anyway. I'll just put a big note, bring remote.
Right.
UPS is really good down here.
Yeah.
And if you pay for it, you can get it in one day. Two or three days, call.
Things have changed. Things have changed. I don't know if anybody noticed, but there's an Amazon Mexico marketplace now.
And there's a UPS down on Saturday.
And so one of the first things I would do if I was looking for a Roku remote is I'd go to Amazon and switch the country to Mexico, Amazon.com.mx, and do a Roku search and see if they can deliver that remote right here in Mexico to you. Well, I think that's the problem, is that it's working on infrared, and the only one he's been able to get a hold of so far is Bluetooth.
I use my Logitech
Harmony.
That's right.
Unfortunately, a Harmony around here would be as hard to get a hold of. Or you could borrow Jim's Harmony.
You could buy a whole new Roku for what Harmony costs.
Yes, I'm sure.
And be up to date now, because the Roku 1, 2, the XS, they're all free.
Yeah.
They're not supporting them anymore. Really?
Well, it's their new operating system doesn't run on it. I've got the XDS.
I have the XS.
Yeah. And I like it because it's got a lot more features. You can plug it directly into a network. It's not it doesn't have to be Wi-Fi.
Do you
want
to try mine?
No. I have a question about the very thing we're talking about.
No.
What's that?
I have a question about this very thing we're talking about.
And it was set up in the
Netflix.
US.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate the Roku. Yeah.
You need to set the Roku up.
Why can't I get that? Since I have a Buffalo box.
Okay.
Which says I'll get Phoenix.
I think I'm going to.
Why can't I get through the Amazon all the programs?
I'll call you if I want.
It says it's not available in your area.
You're welcome.
Well, then you must not be running on that VPN.
Okay.
Yeah, it should. Hey, and as far as Netflix goes, I know a lot of us have gotten in the habit of using a VPN to take advantage of the American catalog. But I recently heard a story, long-distance relationship with a couple of friends of mine. She's in the States, he's here. They're trying to do things like FaceTime and watch a Netflix movie together, right? So you kind of got, you're doing a Netflix date, and you've got your girl over here on an iDevice doing FaceTime, and she's over on her end watching the same movie as you're watching on this end. Well, the story is that they had a lot of trouble finding the same movie to watch, and most of the frustration came from her end because he had a better collection of movies in Mexico than she was getting in the United States. So anybody that's using a VPN to use Netflix ought to turn it off and just see what your experience is with Netflix in Mexico. You might be surprised to find that some of the content that's no longer licensed to Netflix in the States may be now licensed in Mexico to be watched. She was really surprised at how many good movies he had available to him that had been on Netflix at one time but were no longer available in the United States. That licensing process is this constant ongoing circle of where they're licensing content that they think will make money over a certain period of time, and when it expires, that content disappears. When you have a Netflix account that you're using, you're really asking for permission to whatever their current library is. There's no guarantee that that library will ever be the same next week or tomorrow or a year from now because of these licensing deals. So a way to look at this, if you've been using a VPN, is you've got twice as much content to be surfing through. You can surf through what's been licensed in Mexico to be watched, as well as you can turn your VPN and look at what's been licensed in the United States to watch.
So what do? You turn off the Buffalo box?
Well, probably in your case, because you're using a Buffalo, are you using Whitopia as your VPN? Or hide my ass. Okay. So I would imagine most people that are doing this have two different Wi-Fi points in their house. They have the one from Hide My Ass, that router that's Hide My Ass, and they have the one that's from Telmex. So and you're using a Roku to connect to supposedly Hide My Ass at this moment. Well, you go into the Roku and you connect it to your Infinitum connection. And the moment you do that, then you're using Netflix through the Infinitum connection, essentially the Mexico side of things. And what will come up will be the Mexican catalog.
What's the best VPN to use?
Do we have any recommendations for VPNs?
Whitopia, and it kept collapsing on me, and I'd have to reestablish it. Things like that. I've let it lapse, so I'm not paying for it now, but I want to have something so I can look at CBS and stuff like that.
Well, in my experience, I've helped a lot of people set up Whitopia and Hide My Ass. And the only thing that I've had with either one of them is this issue of where you're connecting in the United States. Mm-hmm. Some places tend to be more reliable than other places.
I picked like Las Vegas or Denver, or not LA because that's where I live, is in LA. But anyway,
but yeah.
Some of them it would hook up a lot faster, but many times it would fail after 20 minutes or something like that.
See, that's one of the nice things of using the software VPN in your computer itself, because both of those allow you to choose from different. Like you can say, okay, Las Vegas isn't working on the fly, you can switch to Los Angeles. Well, that's not very good either. On the fly, go to Phoenix. And try and dial in which one is the best one for your circumstance. When you're using a hardware VPN, it's a little bit more difficult because you have to get into the router and make those changes.
And then I used to have, what's it called, Hulu?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried that, and it said, we can tell you're using a VPN, and it's only to be used in this continental United States.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's no advantage anymore.
I've had good luck with Tote Box, except every Saturday at 3 o'clock, you have to reboot it.
You're still doing that.
Still
at 3 o'clock every day.
So
that's
Saturday.
Cloak Box is Whitopia.
It's
just the seller of the hardware is Cloak Box.
Oh, I see. But
the service is Whitopia.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That makes it for your whole house. Like
that's right.
Through the router. Huh?
Through the router.
Maybe yours is coming from Amsterdam.
Well, that's the other thing, too, the on-the-fly stuff. If you used your VPN, if your VPN service provider provided you a VPN to the UK as well,
mm-hmm.
Well, then you could use that to use iPlay. And iPlay is an amazing offering from the BBC where you've got access to all this content that they make available only in the UK. Sherlock and all these programs that are available through BBC. And the only reason we can't watch them off their website is because we're not in the UK.
I was absolutely positive that somebody had hacked my account because I got this, I think it was Evan Gate bill, and so I checked it. It was Amsterdam, and I said, those guys are just crooked.
Right.
All of a sudden, my hide my ass quit working.
Oh, that's where they were doing things.
Well, that's their offices.
Well, I've been using a program called Unlocator. Oh. I don't know if you're talking about the same thing.
Say that again.
Unlocator.
That's a new one for me. I haven't heard that name.
It works flawlessly.
I'll go home and
check. I couldn't access Amazon Movies or HBO. Said it's not available in this Indian country. And Unlocator is about $4.
Amazon.
I can access.
Thank you.
It sets up.
Can't go wrong.
No.
It puts me in the States. And so it's like. It's
But you weren't able to use it with HBO? You weren't able?
Unlocator, I can't. Before I got Unlocator, you know, when I first came down.
Okay, so this was your solution.
I tried to look at HBO, I tried to look at Amazon,
okay.
Movies, you know, all that.
Prime, yeah.
And all that. Said not available in Netflix, not available in your country. So I got Unlocator. And it goes right
there. Now, and this Unlocator is a piece of software you add to your web browser so right. that you can access yeah. this stuff.
And it goes in and sets your IP address
like Ola.
To the States.
Like Ola, but stay away from Ola.
That's called Unlocator.
VPN.
There's a monthly charge, but it's yes. available.
Monthly charge. Yes. I'm just making a note here to add this, yeah. I will take yeah. a look at it.
How much is
I think it's about $4 a month.
$4 a month?
How much is HydraApps?
I think it's comparable to that
it's
pricing.
It's like $50 a year for
most, most
if there's something
though.
Better, I mean, I wouldn't mind knowing.
I had it for a while. I had the same problem you had. It kept...
Yeah. So you use HydraApps?
I had heard that because of a merger between AT&T and DirecTV, that there's a possibility that DirecTV is going to wind up with a Mexican service. Is that, have you heard anything like that?
Only the way I'm hearing it right now. I haven't read anything about it. But I have heard, and I don't remember whether I heard it from you or somebody else, but I have heard that before, that they're merging with an international operator.
They're merged.
They're merged. Yeah, and maybe Chester has some information.
Happened, and because of that, there's supposed to be some kind of finagling going on with DirecTV being here, so they're supplying the service.
So it's a company.
That will never happen. Okay.
I have a direct TV.
Okay.
And I've got a second receiver for South Chihuahua.
Okay.
And I've had it now for, 6 years? I can get everything except the local channels.
Okay.
So I called direct TV, talked to one of the technicians, and he said, where is it? I said, well, it's... I could tell you it's on my literal of about 200 miles
outside
of
my U.S.
shoreline. I said, but I have a home down there that I have a family. And
but
I would like to be able to get at least Tucson here for sure.
Right.
And he says, well, what you need to do is bring down an oval of this.
That's right.
So I brought one down. I called the police because they got my own DFTV. I called the satellite people down here.
Yeah.
They said, oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I said, really? He said, oh, no. You got to buy a 36-inch.
That's the way I understand it, yeah. Yeah, and you know what you ought to talk to the satellite guys down here about? Haven't they been able to do it with two dishes before?
Yeah, they said two dishes.
Yeah, so if you've got your original dish and this new dish, they should be able to use a multiplexer and point one at the local channels and one at the main channels.
But the signal is such, I think, over Tucson that they might they reduce the strength. Just like radio stations have to reduce the strength at night, you know, because of the bounce.
Because of the bounce across the stratosphere?
Yeah.
During the day, you're interested.
It's amazing how dialed in that technology is now when you think about some scientist in a lab was figuring out when they had to dial down the signal strength.
Where's that place at?
Who?
Charlie's Rock, is it?
Yeah, is anybody doing satellite TV down here? Who are you guys contacting for satellite help? But who locally is helping you? Is it Chavez still? Chavez?
Yeah, for DirecTV.
And that's through Charlie's Rock, right?
Yeah, I had Chavez. I gave up on it. I don't even have a TV. But I was renting one from Chavez.
Okay. Yeah, so
and
I...
You pay every 6 months.
Oh, so he's providing you with it. So we're just looking for somebody who knows how to set up dishes.
Java.
Okay.
Java.
Cool.
Scott Bailey will do that, too.
Is he still doing that? Yeah? So there's Scott Bailey as well.
I think he still doing something.
Yeah,
he was over at my neighbor's
Scott,
place
he said,
getting his DirecTV thing happening.
What he told me... Because I thought it was you.
Right.
Well, I take mine off.
We end up passing each other contacts all the time.
I'm good to take it all down, but I figure there is anything to do that.
$45 a month.
And that would be the sensible way to go.
All
in
one
zip.
Right.
I've got cable.
So Shabbos a
lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Scott.
Yes.
What I was thinking of doing.
When we came down with the high
there,
definition television.
You got a high definition television finally?
Yeah. I
okay.
Well, yeah. But we don't have
they
it
don't
now.
They don't provide any service down here. If you
sure.
take it down.
Oh, okay.
It'll work.
Okay. Nothing would work.
In what respect?
Well, with the box was... DirecTV box was kind of missing.
Right.
That we have at home.
Like
right.
And what it is, and with our old TV here, it would not work.
Right.
So Java's fixed.
Yeah, you put like an analog adapter, analog
yes,
to digital
exactly.
adapter on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
not
the
end.
Well, the one that I got,
I
but I haven't had a single bit of problems since I got the new one. I think they throw a sticker outside and change the password.
I can mention a few other things if people are interested, but I...
Do you need to mark this page? Or
I have a question.
No, no, that's for you. I've got a copy. Yeah.
I have a question.
Can I ask a quick question, though?
Sure.
Somebody mentioned to me that our meeting is conflicting with Rotary's new meeting time. Is there anybody
Rotary
here that...
Rotary changed, not us.
Yeah, Rotary changed.
Let Rotary change back if they've got a problem.
No, and I don't have a problem with that attitude as long as everybody has the same attitude. I would hate for there to be people interested in being in Rotary that are missing out on it. And if there's a majority here, then we could talk about it. If nobody cares, then I'm happy with what we're doing.
Yeah, Tuesday's best.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'd join Rotary if they change back to their lunch instead of a breakfast.
I don't have a conflict.
I want to know, is your tropical landscape around your house working out what you hoped with the irrigation system?
Still haven't done it.
Really?
Yeah. Still haven't done it. The
my daughter has that.
That's
in
that.
San Diego.
Really?
And it works fine.
Those are the problems with having two young children in school and living and working in Mexico. It's a financial issue.
Yeah.
It always ends up being what's the priority.
I put in one of those irrigation systems about 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I need to do it. I just can't seem to budget for it. There's always one other thing to pay for, one other car repair, new clothes. You know, the kids like to go to school in clothes that fit.
My irrigation system consists of nothing that needs irrigation.
Chester, you said you had a question.
Yes, I'm running 8.1.
Windows 8.1.
I would like to start up my computer without having to use a code.
Without asking you for a password. The terminology for that is called auto login. And there, what you should do is Google it, auto login Windows 8.1. And I'll do it real quick here because it seems to me what you need to do is specify an application from the run line, auto login. And more specific, auto login Windows 8.1. There we go. How to automatically log in to Windows. Well, I guess it's the same as Windows 10, too. No, Windows 8. There we go. And I think what they did, there's an app that we use for doing that, that you start up with this line that reads control space user passwords 2, which is very cryptic and not very intuitive, and they changed that in Windows 8. And so even though I can remember the cryptic, I can't remember the thing they changed it to. So I always find myself Googling this solution.
What did we do without Google?
Right?
You'd have a whole big set of encyclopedias.
You would be amazed at how many times I have to field a question from my young children going, why do I have to do this? All I have to do is ask Google.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, mom's like, Shinaria, like, it's not going to be up to date. This is it.
Okay.
All right, Jim. I'm sorry we didn't get to your Linux.
You didn't know the answer.
I probably didn't know the answer. You need to get a run line. A run line in Windows can be done by pressing the Windows button and the letter R. You do on a Mac, but it's not a Windows button. It's the splat key. Well, that's what we used to call it all the time. It's the command key.
What did you call it?
A splat.
That's
what we used to call it all the time. It's got those curlies, four curlies. So you hold that down and press R, and a run dialog comes up, and it's waiting for you to type in the command. The command is one word, no spaces.
My pencil's sick.
Oh, no. Anybody got something to write on? I'm gonna make a note, too, Chester. I'll put it on the website. Auto login to Windows 8, 81, and 10. Okay, so with the command R, doing the run, you're going to type in the word. It's one word. It's NETPLWIZ. And I really don't, maybe somebody can figure out what PL is supposed to. I know net, because it's network. PL I'm not certain about. WIZ has got to be wizard. And so that's going to open up this dialog we had before, and it'll list the accounts on your computer, and you choose the account you want to have automatically log in, and you take a checkbox, and I should be doing this off the web page I'm looking at, but I'm pulling it out of my memory now, so let me double check to make sure it's the same.
If it's polite, it might be
please. Yeah. Yeah. I've never thought of Microsoft software as being polite. And it's definitely unintuitive, so I think you're wrong.
Probable liability.
Right. Possible liability is probably it. Use this with possible liability. We accept no responsibility because you're not using a password. Okay, yeah, I'm right. So in this dialogue, there's a checkbox checked that says use login. No, it says, where is it? I just lost it again.
You uncheck it.
You uncheck it. I do know that. On the user tab, which should be where you are now, uncheck the box next to users must enter a username and password to use this computer. So what you're looking at a box, has a list of your accounts. It's probably only got one or two accounts in there. One would be like a system account. The other would be the main account that you're using, probably Chester. You choose Chester, uncheck that box. Another dialog pops up prompting you for your current password. You put it in again to verify it. You hit OK. From that point on, it puts in the password for you so you don't get stopped for a password.
That's exactly what I need.
Yep.
Thank you. I got to get a new picture. Take that. And that's an app? Windows 10 off?
Well, that's Windows 8, 8, 1, and 10. And it's included with Windows. And you run that, and it brings up that dialog and lets you do those settings. We've still got a few more minutes if anybody's interested in some other topics I've got.
We've got alarms for cars. and try to steal my new truck.
Did they have bearings they put doors in?
No. That's just the ferries that go to
Seattle. Probably in Walmart. Like Dixport. Bring it down to diesel.
They have several ferries going across Puget Sound. On an hourly basis.
So, did you guys hear this? Somebody tried to break it?
No, they took a box cutter, slit wheel well on the driver's side, reached in and disconnected the horn.
Oh, they had to know how to set up.
Oh, I mentioned that when I first came in.
Yeah.
They're getting more sophisticated then.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
And that was at Walmart, too.
That was at Walmart?
We figured that, yeah.
Wow.
I always wonder about people who work as technicians for alarm installers, you know, because they could have a sideline and a night job stealing cars.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Like I say, luckily I've got one of those new computer keys. Supposedly nothing's supposed to be. Supposedly. They had been pretty knowledgeable on it 2015. You know exactly where.
This ferry ride from Seattle to Granbury.
Well, actually, you know, they only need to know a half a dozen vehicles that are common, and so they go through the parking lot looking for the ones they know.
Yeah. You see a guy with a laptop right next to your car. Be suspicious.
Put your car on.
So all you've got to do is look it up. So I drive my
manual
old Bronco goes down to Wyman from now on. It's hard, good truck space.
Yeah, that's about a 2 hour
can you imagine having, and I've got a travel.
I travel from Seattle to Victoria sometimes.
Can I answer any more questions? Did people bring any more questions? I mean, I've got a couple of other things here. Yesterday was the 26th. It was also my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Yuya.
Happy birthday.
On the 26th, the Surface Book that we were talking about, the Surface Pro, have been released. So if you're interested in any of those devices, they were released yesterday. And the Surface Book has already sold out. So all you can do really is sign up and wait to find out when you can get a hold of one. The Apple TV, the new Apple TV, has been released for order. You can pre-order the Apple TV now. This is the new one, the one that was announced a few weeks back. It has storage. They've got
4G.
It's a 4K. That's right, 4K. It supports 4K devices. But its claim to fame really is the universal search, the App Store, the vocal search. They've got what they're calling a Siri remote for it. And this is this experience where, I mean, all that combined is this experience. You go to your Apple TV, you've got the remote in hand, and you tell it what you want to watch. And the Apple TV searches across all the apps that you have installed in it and finds that content and puts it up in front of you. The demo was really impressive because they had things like Hulu installed, Amazon installed. They had I said that wrong. I don't think they have Amazon yet for it. In fact, they've got a battle going on with Amazon right now, so that was wrong. They had HBO installed. Exterior noise is determining that we're almost done with our meeting. But they had their own Apple iTunes services, like the movies you can rent or buy, the TV shows you can rent or buy, as well as these third-party programs, which they've never had before. If you have any experience with Apple TV, it's an appliance, and the only things that are allowed on it have been vetted by Apple. There has not been an app store for it, like the iPad or any of these Android devices. There was no hope that what your favorite app was going to come to the Apple TV. Apple would sanction developers. So that was the big deal with the last Apple TV, was that HBO was going to put their content on the Apple TV. And so you would buy this new Apple TV simply because you can watch HBO on it. Well, now they have an app store on it, and so HBO can build an app for it. Amazon, if they choose to, can build an app for it. And you can get those kind of, Hulu can build an app for it. So we're no longer restricted with this device by Apple. Any developer that wants to build for it can. Yeah. So that's a really big bonus, because now it's opened it up to a whole lot more content. But then the universal search is this concept that when you search the box, you're searching all the devices, all the applications that are in the device. So you can add your favorite apps, and then you can search across all your apps in one swing, which is very powerful. And then they've coupled it with a Siri device, a Siri remote. The remote is very impressive, but the most impressive thing is it's voice activated. So you're no longer, if you're doing searches, you're not like using an on-screen keyboard or plugging in a keyboard. You're just talking to it the same way you talk to Siri or Google now. And that brings me to the demo we watched on it, where the woman showing it off was able to say, I'm interested in action movies. Show me a list of action movies. And from the list, she saw a James Bond movie come up. And she goes, oh, that's good. I want to watch a James Bond movie with Daniel Craig. And so the list of all the Daniel Craig movies came up. She didn't have to do anything on screen to refine it. She only used it as a prompt to help her with her next search query. And then she went to TV. She went to TV as a concept because she was prompted by what was on the screen. It just got her thinking. She's like, you know what? I'd like to watch a Seinfeld episode. And I'm sorry, I forgot. She used some actor that was famous for being in one episode, and she said the actor's name, and that Seinfeld episode popped right in front of her. So that is very cool.
And she could chat with it, and it would just pick the words out that it needed to do the search.
That's right. I mean, maybe on the screen, I didn't pay that close of attention. Maybe on the screen it was saying everything that she said, but behind the scenes, the algorithm's like, I need this word, I need this word, I need this word. Okay, this is what she's looking for.
Then Siri says, that's above my pay grade.
Right.
That's not my need to know.
What? All that is very impressive. It is also all available in other products right now. NVIDIA has a product called the Shield, which is a device like that that does pretty much the same thing. The Amazon Fire box is very much universal search, vocal search. It does, so it really does represent Apple TV catching up with these other products in the market. But it's Apple, and they've done that before. They've redefined a market position simply because they took something that was already there, and they did it so well that everyone else was trying to catch up with them again. And this could very well be that kind of product. The Apple TV is more expensive. They've got a $129 and a $199 price point. They've kept the old Apple TV, so you can still buy something for under $100. But again, that doesn't have the App Store. The App Store is what's really defining this product.
This is not a TV, but a box that goes into your TV.
That's right. It's a set-top box. It's not much bigger than that kind of thing. What really defines it, though, is the App Store. Essentially, there's a whole slew of developers out there that have been building apps for iPads and iPhones, and theoretically, they should be able to do a tweak here, a tweak here, check a box, and hit compile, and now they've written an app for the Apple TV. So we can imagine a whole slew of applications migrating over to Apple TV from the iPhones and from the iPads.
Is there
an iMac Sun, and they recommended not getting the Apple TV yet because they were coming out with the new version?
That's right.
Is it out now? Has it been released?
No, but that's the point. That's what brings me to this. The point is, yesterday you could start pre-ordering. And so from what I understand, we're only looking at the middle of November or the end of November before they'll be sent to you. Yeah. And then the price point difference is for storage capacity inside it. And they're aiming this for gaming as well. And so that's what I imagine the storage capacity is. is that you're able to maintain more sophisticated, heavier weight games depending on what price point you've bought at.
And you can also then look ahead and save card programs that are scheduled ahead.
You know, I hope that's the case. That would be an amazing feature, is to like see that on Hulu we're going to be able to watch Saturday Night Live. On Thursday, we'll be able to see the new ones coming out for Saturday and put a check mark next to it, knowing that you're going fishing. I mean, you're not going to be back till Sunday, knowing that you're going to be able to just have that sitting in your box.
Kind of like DirecTV.
Right, right. But they have announced nothing of that. And the way Apple does things, it's easier to imagine they expect you to have a sophisticated high-speed internet connection that's not saturated with other things going on. So you'll be able to just turn on Saturday Night Live when it's being broadcast. Why would you need to save it?
Okay, so, but is there some place here that sells a hard drive recorder that I can...
Like a DVR?
Yeah, DVR. Do they have them at Sam's Club?
Wow, that's a good question. Does anybody know that? I haven't run into one.
I mean, there's that service. What is
the TiVo service?
TiVo, yeah. But I wasn't interested in the service. Something I could program.
Right. It would have to complement your TV service at the moment. Right? So whatever it was you're getting.
You know, you get Sky, certain Sky channels, plus the local channels from Tucson.
No, I am not certain.
So I'd have to know what was going to come up.
Well, when you go looking for a DVR device, what you're looking for is one that can look at the guide
of whatever program.
Well, yeah, whatever service you have. Whether they look through your box or they look through their internet connection, they have to support that. And then that programming... And then you have to be able to pass your signal into that device.
Yeah. So that, like, I have VHS and disc player, and I can program that if I know exactly when it's going to be. I'm not looking at the program. I'm looking at Tuesday at 8 o'clock on CBS.
Right.
Yeah. Channel 3.
Well, Apple's Tim Cook is saying the future of TV is apps, which is something Steve Jobs always said was not the case.
Now, the TV I have at home is a smart TV. It's got available HBO.
You got to get it on the other side of your VPN right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the big deal. And so you'd be looking for a hardware VPN.
Or from... No, that's not right. From, yeah. My laptop doesn't help it at all.
Right.
That's my hardwired.
That may not work either, depending on how the software VPN works.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, why do you think I need you?
Okay.
How's your schedule?
It's pretty good. Let me, I can just pull it up right here.
Yeah.
It's funny to own a laptop that moves slower than my cell phone. I'm really looking for a low-budget ultrabook, small like this. It can be underpowered, but not this underpowered, with about twice the memory this has, about the same storage space, with these ports, because I still need a network port on a device, and they're difficult to find. And it... What's that? Are you looking on the background here? This is my Wunderlist. And for some reason they put that... I don't know where that's from. I want to say it's from a Canadian place, but I really don't know. Oh, on Windows 10? Or Windows 8? Oh, on Windows 7. The background picture. Go into, click with the right mouse button on the background, and go into personalize.
Oh, I see. Oh, she has a background.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, she's in her own home.
So, Dag, I've got time in the afternoon on Wednesday, or in the morning on Thursday.
Morning on Thursday would be good.
Okay, we want to do it like 9, 9:30?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay.
It might, you know, there's a couple of things, two or three things. I've got some little issues with the computer, with the laptop. It says something is wrong or whatever, you know. Maybe I'll just take a look at it. If I want to upgrade to 10, they keep asking me, maybe I should do it. I want to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, if you want to update to 10 and you're not confident doing it yourself, maybe...
Well, I don't know if it's ready, if there's some issues with the computer, maybe I should do it.
Well, I guess that's what I was going to say, is if you're concerned about it, why don't you just give it to me and let me do the update? That way I can make a backup of the whole system. I can make sure everything's healthy beforehand so it isn't an issue, so that it does update.
But then I have some other things, too. I need to... It's like, I don't think the computer is talking to the scanner. You know, it's talking to the printer, but I can't do the scanning and then send the email. Maybe it's something we need to do. And then I was over at your office yesterday. I had to scan some stuff for me and email it. And then there's one more thing I may need to do.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thursday morning, I'll know, you know, what happened.
Okay, I'm going to plan for 9 on Thursday.
Yeah.
And can you give me your home phone number?
Yeah, it's...
Or your cell, either one.
Yeah, I can give the home number. 226-1509-1509.
Okay, great. I'm sure I've got it somewhere, but I just want to make sure I've got it in case something comes up.
I gave it to the wrong number to your sister in law. You know, about 6 months ago. I said 1508, and she kept calling.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and she left messages.
Oh, no. Linda!
Okay.
How can I help you?
I had a cold last week. Well, it was the first day of my cold. I wasn't real well, so I didn't think I should come over here.
Well, we missed you, and people asked about you.
Okay, my question for you is...
Yeah.
I want to put that Android in. Now, I downloaded the Novacom.
Oh, good.
And I downloaded the TP Toolbox.
Bear with me, because I haven't looked at this stuff since
TP
last time
toolbox,
we talked.
TP Toolbox. And I'm ready to go, but I'm nervous about doing it.
Okay.
I don't need to do anything else, right?
No, I don't think so.
I've got Roy's instructions that he just put out on his...
Oh, really? He put out instructions? I'll have to go look at them.
Yeah. So I did, though. I downloaded those two things, and then it says to just plug it in and then do...
Right, you got to...
You're going to put the toolbox thing on.
That's right. And then what happens is that you load up this... It's Cyogen mod, right? That's what you're using?
Well, that's what he... Yeah, that's what I was on.
And so it has this,
whatever it's called.
Yeah, it has this bootloader that loads up, and then from there it the bootloader is not part of it, and I'm using a general term because I can't remember. Maybe the toolbox is what I'm thinking of.
TP toolbox.
Yeah, it may be that.
Okay, now it's got a certain program in it that you down. After you turn it on.
Right. And so there's this.
I'm nervous. I don't want to brick it. And Roy doesn't want to help me, so.
Well, do you want to give it to me and let me do it? I was just, in fact, you know what, Linda, do this. Give me a week.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I want to do is I want to try putting Android 5 on it.
Well, that's why. I want to put Android 5 in it.
And I haven't done that yet, and so I'm going to have to refresh my memory on all this stuff, and then I'm going to do the 5 upgrade. And after I do it...
And then you're ready for 6.
Well, we'll see. But after I've got 5 on it, then I will be re-familiarized with it, and then you can just hand me yours, and I can do yours, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because I want to do it, but I'm like, I told Jim the other day. I was talking to Jim, and I said I'm just nervous about doing it, and I don't want it to brick it. I don't want to make a mistake, because I'm not, you know, I know a lot of stuff, but certain things I don't know.
Well, right, and there are very few products that there are very few products that are guaranteed not to brickable. They are not brickable. Like Blackberries used to be notorious for, no matter what you did to them, you could bring them back to life.
Yeah.
But there are very few things like that.
Well, this thing has a thing to unbrick it.
Right.
They do have a program that they come up with to unbrick it. But I still would rather put know what I'm doing.
Now, you know, one of the things that I want to do.
So you've got what in here?
I've got Kit Kat.
Are you double boot?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I can go to the other one.
I just want to wipe it out.
Yeah.
Because they're not going anywhere with that WebOS.
So, I know.
And it said that you can just wipe it out, so I'm just, we'll wipe it out. And they said it's still in the background. So if you ever wanted to bring it back, they can bring it back.
Well, the difference is whether you have that storage space used to store the other partition, or if you wipe that out, now you have that free storage space to be used.
Well, the thing was, I did the Phoenix thing in there. And I did that by myself.
Okay.
But I did the Phoenix, and they're paid the $29. And they were supposed to have given you Play Store, but they never did. They had their own apps, and you never got anything again. You know, you couldn't get, like, the games.
That's when you're running, like, an Android emulator
right.
on
and
top
then,
of...
Right, and then I had all the pre-ware. I've got the pre-ware in there. I've got everything in there because I used to sideload the books. That is hard. Sideload Roy's books.
I would be interested in hearing Roy's experiences. One of the things that's very obvious to me...
He lost the camera...
Well, just his general use. Oh, he lost the camera with five?
Yeah, he lost the camera and...
Because this is one of my...
Are you subscribed to his blog?
This is one of... Well, on Yahoo? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, it's in there.
Yeah, I need to look at it.
Okay.
But this has become a Skype machine for me, so I wouldn't want to lose my camera.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to look at that again. Because I've been wanting to put five on it.
I think he got it back. I'm not sure if he got it back. I don't care about the camera because Bill's going to use it for reading books.
Right.
And I just want the Android on there because I just help somebody with the Android. You're not going to believe this. She said that her on her Android that her AC adapter didn't work anymore. And she got this universal AC adapter, fine. But she was having all kinds of problems with it because her son went and put all these passwords on everything. I go, what do you need it for? You have no kids. You're only doing playing games and getting your email off of it. Okay, so I come to cards and she brings it and I'm working on it. And I took and I didn't see the two holes were the same and I didn't see because it was so grayed out that it was the earphone hole.
Oh no.
I pushed the thing in.
Like a paperclip thing?
She lost the sound.
Oh no.
They said it went to the motherboard and it was gonna cause blah 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 blah. So Bill had a Barnes & Noble Nook.
Right.
And I gave it to her.
Aww.
Because I was going to have to buy her another one. And Bill says, you know what? I don't like it that big. He wants to get a 7-inch to read. He says, I just don't like the 10-inch to read.
What Android device was it that got fried?
It was an Asus.
Okay.
And she took it to X-Pro. And they told her they were going to have to get a new thing on the motherboard. And it was going to cost too much money.
Right.
Because she only paid $89 for it. I said, look. I'll just give you this 10-inch Barnes & Noble Nook. And I gave it to her.
Did you see the 6-pack of Fire tablets, 7-inch Fire tablets, 8 gigs?
Yeah, no.
But for a while there, I haven't checked recently, but for a while Amazon was, they're selling them for $50, right?
Yeah.
But they're saying if you buy 6 at a time, they'll sell them to you for 5.
Oh, for
so
five.
You get the one free.
Oh, well, I only need one.
Well, I was at that price, I was thinking home automation.
Yeah.
You get a 6-pack of these 8-gig Fire tablets,
yeah.
And you mount them at your entryways all around your house,
yeah.
Right, for each one of your rooms.
Oh, well, yeah, you could do that.
So your climate control and all that's right there,
yeah.
Your music adjustments to access your Sonos.
That's another story. I bought a brand new smart TV.
Wait, Linda, I have not said goodbye to this podcast. Let me do this.
Oh, my God, they're listening.
They're listening to us. So this is Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions signing off for the San Carlos Computer Club. If you're interested in this recording or others, last week's recording or anything in the past, I keep them hosted at sccclub.org, and we can also be found in iTunes if you search the San Carlos Computer Club. Again, that's sccclub.org. And if you're in San Carlos and you need some computer help, let me know at International Computer Solutions. That's internationalcs.net. You can reach me, Scott, at internationalcs.net. You can call our offices at 226-0209. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Tech on. We're done.